from Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 20th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Jim Reed with ADCI in Appleton, Wisconsin.
This week, we get the lowdown on all of Nokia's recent mapping announcements from Jim, who attended as a Nokia partner. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine, already the global leader in geospatial technology news, has launched Directions Magazine India, featuring a weekly newsletter and topical webinars specifically about the growth of GIS in India. Point your browser to directionsmag.in today. And Directions will bring its Location Intelligence Conference to Brazil. On June 19, 2013, LI Brazil will be co-located with the Mundo Geo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions.
On Tuesday of last week, Nokia held an event in San Francisco and outlined some of the new branding and plans for its mapping and LBS offerings. And while many of us think of this part of the company as Navtech, it's actually turning into something else. So, Jim, first off, what was this event?
Well, it was called Directions Summit, and it's, I guess, an annual, sort of annual event. I don't believe they held one last year. They held one a couple of years ago that I went to in San Francisco, but it's basically where they kind of talk to you about the direction of the company and new products and new things on the horizon.
Okay, and so you were there as a Navtech partner, reseller, and who else was there?
There were a lot of people there from automotive industry. The press was well represented. In fact, Stephen Elop, who is the president of Nokia, opened up the conference with a 10 or 15 minute speech. And then he was whisked off to be, I was told, to be on live TV on CNBC. There were lots of people from Microsoft, Yahoo. I don't remember seeing anybody from Apple. Big companies.
Right.
So not too many people in the enterprise space, like me.
Right. So this clearly maybe was more about a different part of the industry than your little corner of enterprise GIS things.
That's correct. Yeah. Most of the conversation was about the consumer experience these days, whether it's on a mobile device, a tablet, a PC, whatever. It was about the consumer experience and a lot about the Nokia phones. In fact, they gave every attendee a brand new Nokia Lumia 920 phone.
Wow, that sounds like such a Google thing to do, doesn't it?
Yeah. I didn't complain.
No, that's great. So the big branding news is about Here.com.
Well, they're really calling it Here. The URL to learn about it is Here.com, which I understand redirects you at least temporarily to Here.net. But and within a couple of weeks, it'll be here.com. In fact, the mobile vehicles that they go out and collect data with, they had a couple of those there already, and they already had the Here logo on them.
So that's clearly the new name of this whole division that we once knew as Navtech, that then became
Nokia Location and Commerce.
Okay, and yeah. Then for a while there was this thing called Nokia Maps, and now all of that is Here.
Correct. That's my understanding.
Okay, and did they give some background as to the choice of that particular term?
No, just that they thought they needed some rebranding, and practically everything a consumer does on their mobile device has to do with where they are. Lots and lots. So Here is really important.
It's literal, the Here.
Correct.
The descriptions I'm seeing is that if you go to that site, which I've been to, it's basically Google Maps-ish.
I've only spent a little bit of time there, but I would say sort of, yes. The data and the stuff you can do at Here.com is a tiny portion of what you can do on a phone. They demonstrated a whole lot of stuff on a phone. For example, they have they call it City Lens. It's on the Windows phone. It's an app that's preloaded on the Lumia phone anyway. I don't know if it's on other Windows phones. I suspect it is.
I think right now it's only on Lumia.
Oh, it probably is only on the Nokia phones, come to think of it, yes. So you actually hold your phone up like you were taking a picture. And we were on the 15th floor of a building in downtown San Francisco, and they're holding this phone up and panning around, and it's showing you what's out there beyond. It shows you the Starbucks logo, and it gives you the hours and the address of that Starbucks. It'll show you a JCPenney store or whatever else, a Kinko's. It shows you what's out there just as you pan around, just holding the phone up.
Right, and that's their version of augmented reality.
Yeah, and it'll show you a whole bunch of data is available. Like, the person next to you just bought tickets to see Lion King tonight. It was kind of cool.
It really said the person next to you is bought tickets to Lion King?
Now, the phone didn't say that. They were saying that's the kind of information that is available. The phone today does not do that. But if your friends were nearby, if somebody that you knew was a friend on Facebook or something, it would tell you, hey, Jim Reed is near you and he's going to dinner. He just made reservations at so-and-so.
Okay, so really trying to knit all those different data sets together in this environment of augmented reality. The whole augmented reality thing isn't new. In fact, CityLens has been talked about before. But were people excited about that? Was that a big cheer?
No, there wasn't any big cheers and the whole thing, but I think there was a whole lot of buzz in the room, and the conference, I would say, was exciting. On the Nokia phone, they got an app called Nokia Transport. It's on the Windows phone. And if you were going to catch a plane in Boston and you said to yourself, well, I got to be there by 8 o'clock in the morning. Regardless of when your flight is, you say, I want to be there at 8. So you put the route into your Nokia Transport. It develops the mass transit route for you that could take this train to there and blah, blah, blah. If it's running late, it'll tell you, you better leave early. It's running late. Or it says, okay, well, to get there, it's going to take you 47 minutes. You're an hour and a half away. So you've got 27 minutes. And it shows you on a graph how much free time you have before you have to catch that first train. So I thought that was kind of cool. And you say, okay, well, now I can compose that email I was putting off, or I can go get a cup of coffee while I'm waiting. I don't have to rush to the train station.
Right, and that's a very sort of sexy thing for the consumer. I would love that.
And the phone, I don't know if it was Nokia Transport, but another app on the phone was, it knows, or you tell it what route you want to take to work every day. Well, we know that when it's raining, it takes longer because people drive slower. So your phone would wake you up half hour early that day and tell you, hey, it's raining. We thought you ought to get up early. It's going to take you longer to get to work today.
So really sort of coming full circle on that promise of sort of this personal assistant that keeps track of what's going on in the world to make your life better.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And I guess one of those things was exciting was the promise of an iOS app to accompany the one that Apple now offers.
The Nokia people made a big deal out of that.
Well, and it does seem like of course they had to do that, for one. And, I mean, it's been a good while already that if people weren't happy with the Apple Maps solution, they've found something else. So, it seems like it's a little late in the game, and yet important.
One of the cool things, at least with the Windows phone, and I guess it was with other phones, if you use the Here app, you actually download the maps to your device. So you don't need a 3G connection or 4G connection or any kind of connection to do all your map navigation, and you can save maps. So let's say you go to San Francisco twice a year, so you need maps to navigate around there and find things. You can download those maps to your device, and you could make all your plans while you're on the airplane going there.
You can actually do the routing disconnected.
Yeah, and transit planning and everything disconnected.
So it's got a full database, or that chunk of the database, local, and I'm guessing some vector representation of it.
Yeah. They said you can download the whole U.S. to your device, and it's a little less than 12 gigabytes.
That's still pretty big.
That's still pretty big, but that's small for the U.S.
yes, I guess in comparison.
Data that's with it, you know, 3D and all that stuff.
Oh, so that's not just the U.S., but a whole bunch of layers of...
Yeah. And it's great for people on mobile plans because the mobile carriers have discontinued the unlimited data piece of your plan. So you got to buy so many gigabytes a month. Well, you download these maps when you're connected to Wi-Fi. So you're not using your data consumption from your mobile supplier at all, period.
So that's a huge distinguisher.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I didn't read anything about that.
Maybe it's not. Maybe some people didn't think that was such a big deal. Well, I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, and to be fair, it may be that people who don't have their nose in this industry don't even realize that that isn't the way things work now.
It's so fast. I mean, once you download the data, you can imagine how much faster it is on your phone to pan and scroll and zoom and find something.
Exactly right, because the database is right there.
Yeah, it's not going out and hitting the cloud to get a map and bring it and deliver a tile.
What was the response to the announcement about the acquisition of Earthmine? Anything?
No, not that I could tell.
And I'm guessing most of the people in that room hadn't maybe even heard of the company. Is that possible?
I would think that was correct. Cliff Fox, who is executive vice president, the guy in charge of building the whole data set, said that basically the acquisition or a big part of it was because of the processing expertise and processing power those guys had developed. You can imagine how much data is being acquired. 2.5 million changes are made every day to the database, NAVTEX database. 2.5 million. So that's a lot of processing, and that's not even counting what they're acquiring. I thought a cool statistic was, too, that 80% of their entire map-making budget is used for maintaining data, not for building data. Building data, the first time, is the easy part. Maintaining it is the hard part, which doesn't surprise any of us. But I don't know, 80% seemed like it was a higher number than I thought it would be.
Right. So some of the goal of the Earthmine acquisition was to make that whole process more efficient, faster, cheaper, and so forth.
Yeah.
There was also an announcement about a new connection with Mozilla to put more of the mapping and location stuff into Firefox.
They had a panel, and the Mozilla president of data acquisition or whatever he was up on the panel, in fact, alongside a Microsoft guy, alongside a Mercedes-Benz guy, and alongside Jim Steiner from Oracle.
That's an interesting group of people to have on the stage together.
Yes.
Do you understand what that might be about? I'm not understanding that.
I don't. I don't know about that, no.
Yeah, for all of the energy that Mozilla have put into integrating location, it doesn't feel like it's mattered yet. And maybe this is part of making it matter more, is having the backing of Nokia in this huge data set. Anything else that sort of jumped out at you?
They claim they got over 4,000 people worldwide building maps. 350 attributes for each road segment they collect now. I can remember just a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that number was 200, and we thought that was a lot. Now there's 350 attributes for each road segment. People in emerging markets can update the maps and become recognized as trusted experts, and they'll publish their information right in the map right away. But that's not available in the U.S. or Europe or other mature markets.
Right, so that's their version of Google's Map Maker and these crowdsourced solutions.
Well, all over the world, including the U.S., they have over 1,200 people living in their local markets, local update at data acquisition offices, and they own their own maps. So they own their area. So if they say something is this way, then that's the way it is, regardless of what somebody in Finland says or Chicago says.
Okay, so they've got a structure there of who is more authoritative than other people and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, how quickly, you talked about how many changes were being made to the database daily. Does that get pushed out that quickly?
They claim the map online at here.com is updated every 15 minutes.
Wow, that's a great statistic.
Yeah. They are able to update their customers every 2 weeks now. They went from annually to semi-annually to quarterly over time. And now it's, and then monthly, and now it's every 2 weeks. But almost all of their customers don't want it that fast because they can't digest the data that often.
The traffic problem is at the receiving end, not at the producing end.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what, if anything, do all these changes mean to your company and serving your customers?
I think what it means to us, we do some business with developers. So I think the focus on additional content, especially interiors of buildings. In fact, they did a search on a local mall there in San Francisco, and were able to pull up in textual form a listing of all the stores in there. And then if you touched on one of the stores, one of the listings, it took you to the space that that store occupied on what floor of the mall, and gave you their hours and all, and their phone number and all that sort of stuff. So content, I've always felt, since I've been in the business 17 years, I've always felt that content is king. So that's why I think our business is a good business to be in, because that's what we're all about, is selling content or licensing content. And the more content they build, as the phone and the mobile devices become more and more entrenched in what we do every day, and there's no denying that that's happening, that's good for us. Consumers, users, expect that stuff. They expect location to be a part of what they do, and it's just, you can't imagine saying, I want to go somewhere, a movie theater, go out of town and go see the ballet, and not, you just expect a map to be available to show you how to get there. It's just a given these days. So that's good for our business. And the more people using maps, the more stuff we're going to sell, I think.
Well, I have to say, listening to your description of what happened, this almost was like a relaunch of NAVTEC with the new name of HERE, but not to our industry. It's sort of to the rest of the world, who maybe didn't realize that NAVTEC and later iterations at Nokia were doing all this stuff and had all this data.
Yeah, that's true. And I think if I was to really summarize and boil it down to what it means to us, is that as Nokia and others, I guess, in the industry build more and more content and more solutions for their automotive customers. They claim 4 out of 5 automobiles on the road that have a navigation system have Nokia data in them or NAVTEC data in them. So they're clearly focused on that industry. They're focused on the phone industry. They build phones. Nokia builds them and sells them. So as they build applications and content for that, that just spills over to our industry and says, oh yeah, by the way, can you guys sell this to businesses? You know, and that's what it's all about. So we get the benefit of all that stuff.
Well, Jim, I really want to thank you for sharing your experience with us.
Been my pleasure.
That's all the time we have for today. Before we go, we at Directions want to remind you that our location intelligence conferences are coming up next spring. We'll be in Washington, D.C., May 21st and 22nd, and we'll be in Sao Paulo, Brazil, on June 19th. The call for papers for both of these conferences is open at locationintelligence.net. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted, at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.